the cord. I told you guys, your time is up.
Suck it, Donnie.
You suck it. More.
What kind of a comeback was that? I said suck it, and you just added more to it.
Because it's more, you suck it more.
Donnie is a fucking prick. He's a senior guard, and he's jealous of me because I came up with the idea to start the ball hockey league in here. I'm having a good time. I got 26 days left. I plan on playing ball hockey every day and beating the guards in the hockey tournament.
I think we're a little under 4 Hana, a little over 1 Hana. I want to say we are at 121. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 121 of the Muskies on Tap podcast. I am one of your 4 hosts here tonight, Gus Manti. We are bringing to you a host that we've had on many, many times. We'll introduce him shortly with his great intro music. But for right now, let me introduce one of the other hosts on here, none other than Brian Eckel. How you doing, bud? How was your weekend?
Bud, I've been doing good. Had a good weekend out in Minnesota. A little golf Ryder Cup action. You know, it was a successful weekend. Golf-wise, kind of. Casino-wise, kind of successful. Could have been down, you know, what felt like a big chunk at the casino. Ended up hitting a big slot pull, which got me back to even. And went up and down from there. Got out, I think, like, I don't know. I might have gotten out, like, $50 positive. But
that's crazy.
Dodged that bullet in golf. Lost the first match and tied both of the next two matches. Came from behind Sunday to tie it up. Didn't play special, you know, all weekend. Was not flushing it. But
didn't grinded. Have your stuff.
Nah, I didn't bring my stuff. It's hard to get it across the border sometimes.
Where'd you guys stay at?
Mystic Lake Casino.
Oh, yeah, sure. That place reeks of cigs.
No, it's not bad at all.
Really?
It's actually a fine establishment. Yeah, they added on to it. A bunch of big restaurants in there now.
Maybe it was just because I last time I was down there was for like a Trampled by Turtles concert.
That was probably it.
That was when I was there too.
They, you remember that, guys?
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, very well run. Minor inconvenience for me checking in. The guy slaps down a $25 gift card to any restaurant in the place or room service. I'm like, all right. That's how you treat your people, your stayers in the hotel.
They knew you were a big roller when you walked in.
Yeah, they knew I was going to lose probably obscene amounts of cash. But no, the $600 slot rip on a mini game was exhilarating. That was cool.
Buffalo?
And it was in the high. Wait. Yeah, it was Buffalo. It was in a high limit slot room with like 40 other machines.
What is that? Like $7 a pull?
We did made a bet. We'd take out a blade and do $10 spins and see what happens. I hit the mini game.
So the $600 pull from that got you back to even?
Well, I borrowed the blade from my buddy Logan, so I had to give him back that 100. And then before we walked in there, I made the deal: if either of us go up over 400, they pay the other person back the 100 they lost. So I really had to pay him 200. So I took home 400, and that brought me back to even.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Glad we cleared that up.
Not much better. I mean, it could have been down, 600 on the weekend, but that's why I say kind of successful. Kind of successful.
That's why you play the game, man. Yes. That's why you keep playing.
Never give
the
up.
Game.
Never play stop spinning. Max, what'd you get into this weekend?
Nothing of significance, honestly. It was pretty low key. So I've been busy, man. I've been busy with work and stuff. So it's just getting out when I can on the water. Still hot down here in the cities. That beautiful fall weather lasted like 5 days, 6 days, and then it just got really hot again. So hoping to get out maybe this weekend. We'll see. But yeah, just kind of gearing up for Iowa. We got the PMTT Championship. down on Clear Lake next week. So Gus and I will be heading down there sometime early on in the week. Really looking forward to that. I mean, it's should be a lot of fun. I think the weather's shaping up to be okay. I guess we'll kind of just see how it plays out when we get down there. But yeah, should be a good time, man. Hopefully get on some fish and end the year on a nice note. But without further ado, Gus, why don't you fire up the intro music for our special guest here? We've had him
Who
on a
is it?
lot, but
Who
we
is
haven't
it?
had him
Who
in a
is it?
while for his own little personal co-host sesh here this night. None other than Mr. Layton
Clayton
Spee.
Beast. Get him in here,
What
get him in
up?
here,
What
get him in
up?
here.
Yeah.
Gus is side gig DJing now, mixing that tune. Layton, how you doing?
Yo. I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, pretty
Fantastic.
chilly. Yeah,
Almost
looking forward to the
even.
cold front.
Yeah, that water got hot today.
I am,
What'd you
yeah. What did
get?
you see? I saw like 72 and a half.
Ah, I saw like 78.
Whoa, what are you doing still out there?
They're like, I think it's
The
time to quit.
heck? That is insane. I mean, it was flat, calm, sunny. It said 81, 82 out. Felt like 98.
Yeah.
Dripping in sweat, just standing there.
Dang.
Dude,
Yeah, that was freaking
freaking
when I hit that deer a few weeks back. So my appointment's Monday, this coming Monday, to get it all fixed. But I didn't realize that when I hit the deer, because it was cold out, that my AC got busted. So I haven't had AC during this whole like 87 degree last week. And so like
Oh
driving around
no.
during work, it is miserable. All my windows are down, can't hear shit, sweating. I mean, it's insane.
Sounds like a good day at the office.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's bad. Oh, so you're out today, Clayton. How's the fishing been for you as of late? I know you hopped on when we were up in Minnesota. You guys popped that nice one in Bemidji to get you into the championship. So thank God you guys are heading down to Iowa here next week with us. But what's been new since Bemidji? We haven't caught up in a bit.
The fishing's been pretty good, I guess, all things considered, even though we had this mega warm up. I guess I'm not like hitting big numbers as far as multiple fish, but we're getting some really nice fish, which is cool, and people are appreciative of that. I think they're just happy, if we put one good one in the boat in a half a day outing, everyone's pretty jacked about it, especially for how poor the weather's been. But we did our trip to Lake of the Woods around Labor Day again. Our annual thing with the boys, Jeremy and Trevor and Ryan and Justin and Colt and Patrick and Michael Schmidt. So we did that. Unfortunately, coming home from Minnesota, I blew a head gasket on my truck and thought I was hoping, praying that it was just a thermostat, and we changed it, and I kind of limped around, drove around for the week in between Minnesota and Canada, and I didn't really have any issues. So we took off for Canada and got up about an hour and a half north in between Hurley and Ashland, and had to turn around and come back because the same problem was happening. I was blowing all the coolant out of my reserve tank or whatever in my truck, and turned around, drove back home and
What
diagnosed
kind of
it.
truck is it?
It's a Chevy Duramax.
Oh.
Yeah, it's getting up there. Honestly, I mean, her mileage isn't horrible, probably like 265.
Oh.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot, but it's not a lot for a diesel.
Okay.
But she's starting to nickel and dime me a little bit, and I might step away from this and move on, just trying to figure out if I can or not.
If you dump coolant in it, would it just burn it off like within the hour, or what?
It's not burning it out right now. Thankfully, the coolant isn't going into the engine. It's actually, there's pressure building, as you're driving and it's blowing out the head gasket into the coolant system. So it kind of like bubbles out and pressurizes my coolant system, which after it reaches a certain pressure, then it pushes all the excess coolant out of the overflow of the reserve tank. So it'll drain out my reserve tank, which splashes down and into my wheel well and on my tire, and then sprays all down the side of my truck and my boat, kind of on a daily basis. So it's super fun. But back to going to Canada, we did, we swapped trucks. We got a hold of Ryan's truck, hooked it up to my boat, went up there and fished anyways. Lost one day of fishing, but and had to come back a day early. But turns out the fishing was pretty piss poor up there. Thankfully, on the last day, we had a six fish day. Stumbled on some fresh fish that I don't think anybody had touched for quite a while. Some of them acted like they'd never seen a bait before, which was sweet. But other than that, it was really tough. Like, we had one day, 2 days where only one of us caught one fish, one day where nobody caught any fish in my boat. And aside from that, we'd get a couple here and there until the last day, but wasn't great. It was kind of frustrating, especially with all the other stuff going on with my truck and stuff. It just wasn't, didn't make for an awesome trip, but that's the way it goes.
I know we caught up a little bit, Clayton, about that, but and some of the answers to the questions I'm going to ask. But just for people, if they want to go up to Lake of the Woods, if they find themselves struggling, what kind of weather did you have, and what did you do to find success?
Well, we got up there and it was really hot. And the water was still pretty warm. It was warming up actually as we were fishing throughout the first couple days. And the first day wasn't bad. It was probably like in the upper 60s, low 70s for water temp. We had nice weather, a little bit of wind, and we did catch four fish on the first day. And it was good. Like, we caught a big one, 49 and change, and saw a couple other very, very nice fish. One for sure was over 50. Could have even have been the one that we caught the last 2 years we were up there. It was in the same spot. But we didn't get to put hooks into it this time. And it just seemed like the heat and turned to flat calm as it progressed. The fishing got worse and worse. The fish started nipping baits. And I don't really have an answer as to how to get fish to eat when it gets like that time of year when you're supposed to start cooling off. We just hoped and prayed that we could get a bite during those moon phases. That seemed to be key. Like, definitely, like in the morning moon was definitely when we got most of our bites during those tough times. And then we would move fish again, like right at sunset and just into the dark. We didn't really fish much past dark at all, just because we were usually traveling a ways, and to get back in the dark can be kind of sketchy. There's people, locals driving around without lights out there that don't care and will just drive right into you if you don't look out for them. So we don't really travel around out there too much at night. But then we went from the extreme heat that morning of a cold front. It started off hot and it like turned to cold, like where I could have used like my ice gear by the evening, and the water just started plummeting extremely fast. And we actually had a very big fish going that evening when that was happening. We worked it for a couple hours. I don't even know how many different baits we had it up on. Ryan thinks it was a giant tiger. This is probably about a 50 caliber again. It could have been a tiger. It was colored very strange for a normal muskie, the little bit we got to see it. And I haven't like broke it down in video yet. The little bit of video that we got of it, I cannot tell what exactly it was. I think he got the best look out of it out of both of us. But that was like, I think that might have been a day where we might have only caught one fish as well. And but it seemed like we were hoping that that cold front would actually make the fishing better. And I guess once it stabilized, the water temp dropped back down, and after a day of it being cold, then we felt the fish were starting to turn back on again. And then the last day we were there, it was cold, but the water, you know, had been like that for a couple of days, and those fish all of a sudden just kind of snapped on, at least for us. Now, the rest of the cabin didn't do all that well that day. So I don't know if, like I said, I think we just ended up finding some fish that nobody else had been touching. I hate to say it, but this is the first time I've been in Canada and felt like I was fishing pressured fish. The fish we were seeing were kind of almost boat shy, which is like unheard of. I've always like preached and like boasted, and everyone talks about how Canada, you know, fish love to eat boat side. I mean, we'd have fish time and time again just turn off from the boat as soon as they got to the boat. So I was able to get five of the six fish on the last day,
Jesus, John Cena.
ripping a burbot tube.
John Cena.
And these, I think almost every fish ate splashdowner within the first three rips, and they hit it so freaking hard that just about ripped the rod out of my hands every time.
Ooh.
So did you go to Lake of the Woods last year?
I did.
And so
Yep.
you've noticed like a change in fish activity, and do you think it's sort of on a decline here in the last couple of years?
Our numbers are definitely on the decline, and I don't know if that's because we just absolutely crushed it the first year that I went with those. Well, I guess the first year I fished with Ryan. So the last 3 years I've gone up there in a row. And the first year I was up there, like we did phenomenal. I think 27 fish or something like that. And just in my boat in the week, we had like 80 something in our cabin. And last year our boat numbers went down to like 17 or 15 or something like that. And now this year it was down to like 12. So that's significantly less. And I think that this was just that bad because of the weather, because a couple weeks prior to a group of them had been up there and they saw the most fish they've ever seen in a week, and they did really, really, really well. Like they caught the numbers closer to what we had that first year I was up there. So I think we just hit it wrong. Or we were fishing a lot, you know, like as we all have like our own kind of areas and spots, but we also like fish the same stuff as, you know, each other. And I think a lot of the fish were getting fished and had seen baits, got stung, and caught, and they just weren't reloading as fast as, you know, what I'd hoped that they would, I guess.
Was that part of your game plan, like to try and hit new sections or to get out of like the pressure zone?
That turned into our plan. I mean, we've kind of lived by some spots the last few years where we were able to go in every day and just about, you know, find new fish, and those spots had almost completely dried up. So we did spend a lot of this year, probably 4 days, just fishing new spots that I hadn't fished ever or I hadn't been to since the very first time I was up there like 8 years ago. So we did fish a lot of new stuff, which is cool because, you know, you eliminate water, but you also find stuff where you're like, this is going to be really good the next time, you know, when the fish are going good, we need to go back to these spots because I really think they have potential for some big fish. But we did get on one fish one morning or one evening, and it went back in the morning. It was the biggest, if not the biggest, the second biggest muskie I've ever seen on Lake of the Woods. It was probably 53, 54. The first time it came in was on Nick's hammer jerk, and it just got behind it and just started doing the whole like trying to taste the water behind the bait, which at that point I was like, I don't know if we'll be able to catch this fish, but it stuck around and went around and around, and he ate. And at the time I wasn't filming because it was getting close to dark, or and my cameras were pissing me off. So we don't have any footage of this fish, but we had it up on the hammer jerk, a super two different supermodels, a detonator, a pounder, a Dusa, and I think like a Hunzi tail prototype or something like that. But between morning and evening, oh, and then a Cannonball Junior and a Fat Bastard the next morning.
Jesus. Talk about the kitchen sink.
Oh man. And that, I mean, it would like react to every fish that we, or every bait that we threw at it. And then at one point, We had it kind of out there on 360 where we could see it, and I told, Ryan could see it, so he casted a pounder out there, and he hooks up and he's like, "I got her, I got her." I'm like, "No, you don't. I still see the fish there." And he's like, "No, I got her." I'm like, "Well, I believe you have a fish, but you don't have it." And he's like fighting it, and it comes up to the surface, and it was like a 41-inch pike. You talk about a major letdown.
Of course.
Oh, so
The
that's
pike always seem to just show up at like the
the
big
worst
pike at the
times.
wrong, yeah, wrong time in the
It
right
chowed
spot.
a pounder though. It's crazy.
Come on.
Stupid fish.
Shout out to
No.
that pike. Don't deserve it.
But
No.
that seeing the caliber of fish like that, just makes a guy just want to keep going back there. I always think, maybe it's time to go check out some other lakes and stuff, which I still kind of want to do up there, go back to some old haunts, different lakes. But Lake of the Woods still has that, definitely seems like a pretty good chance of 50 caliber fish. And now our average, probably like 5 or 6 years ago when I started going with those guys and I fished with Barbara the first year, I would say our average was 40 to 42. And now I would say the average is 44 to 47, probably. So like there is a pile of 45, 46-inch fish in there, and that's super cool. Like those are so much fun to catch.
Do you
Yeah.
see many like juvenile, like the 31s floating around? I feel like every time, social media makes me believe every fish just spawns in at 40.
The smallest one we caught this time, we might have caught one mid-30s. I have to go back and look at the numbers or whatever just to remember. But I know early in the season when those guys went up there around opener, they caught a bunch of low 30s, like 30 to 34 inchers. I don't see too many. We don't see too many of those. And I don't know if that's just where we're fishing or if they kind of get bullied out of spots, maybe. And maybe they're out in the basin and out in the mud or rocks or something. I don't really know, but there's guys in that the Headwaters chapter outing, so everyone had puts their fish down on the lunge log at Red Wing Lodge, and every year that I'm there's always like I've seen like as small as like 14 inchers getting caught, but like the week that we're there's always under 30s getting caught, and I don't know where they're getting them, or if they're just using really small baits maybe, because it's some people might not be in the shape, or they're older people that can't necessarily throw the big stuff anymore. We're not throwing anything under like double or double nines or eight nines. Everything for blades is big, and I don't know if maybe that has something to do with it, or like I said, maybe it's a territorial thing where they're just not where they're not there because they're getting chased out of there. I don't really know. Yeah, so I did get a 35 and three quarters on a hammer jerk. That was the smallest one we got. That was the smallest one we saw, I'm pretty sure, that week.
Do you go the
So maybe
same
just,
weekend every year?
yeah, kind of right around that Labor Day time frame.
Maybe some of those mid-40s are just getting a little smarter.
Oh,
Caught the
definitely.
fish.
Probably. I mean, I would like to hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, for their own sake.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of smart fish, I do want to ask you about your Bemidji fish. That was a pretty big one. For those of the folks that I guess didn't know the situation that you and your boat partner Nick were in the PMTT tournament, you want to walk us through that one? I talked to you briefly after the tournament a bit, but I'd like to hear it again for sure.
Yeah, well, going back to before the tournament started, I mean, we have a fish and we had fished every qualifier up to that point. I felt like going into it, it was going to be a pretty big numbers tournament. There's going to be a lot of fish caught. And I thought that I was pretty sure we would need one more fish of some sort just to qualify. Turns out I think we did need that one, but going into pre-fishing, we were on a pile of fish. I found like three spots that were just loaded full of muskies. And when Nick got there, I was to the point where I was like, we don't I don't want us to catch these fish. I don't even want to fish for them. Like, I kind of like to go through and just see if I can see it. We can see them on the electronics, make sure they're still there, check them out and keep an eye on them, which we did. And then we kind of explored some other stuff. And come tournament time, just kind of like what it sounds like, what happened to you guys, those fish moved. It took us for a while. I mean, Nick, I think will probably correct me and say that we did move some fish early on, but it was nothing like what I had going pre-fishing. It seemed like the fish had moved, at least in two of the spots. So we spent some time trying to find them and locate them. And then once we did, the way that we were targeting them reminded me kind of the last time we were there. We were targeting fish that weren't necessarily feeding, like they were following the bait, but they weren't really eating. And it just didn't pan out for us on day one. I don't even know that we really saw any fish get caught. I knew there were fish getting caught, but we weren't definitely in the game at all. And so going into day two, we kind of figured that we would start on the same in the same areas, and maybe the fish move back, or just get right on, kind of ride or die by what we had found. And we had some close calls. One really big fish, about a 50-incher, kind of swiped and missed Nick's bait. I had another mid-40s pushing a bait up a break, as I'm reeling from the outside in, and then spooked off, didn't get that one. So we needed a change, and Nick's like, "Well, like we should go try one more spot." And I'm like, "All right, well, let's go to a little bit calmer area because we were getting our butts kicked out in the wind." So we go and drive across the lake, and turns out I drove like down into the windiest corner of the lake. And not once we got down there, I was like, "Well, screw it, let's fish it. It's different completely." It was like a deeper hump with rocks on it, and yeah, I was throwing a Hunsetail prototype. And Nick, I don't remember what Nick was throwing. I think he was throwing another Hunsetail or something. And this fish crushed it. I didn't even know it was there out on the cast. It was a super thick, like 45-incher, which obviously kind of switched the whole mood around in the boat. But, 30 minutes left of the game, we didn't really do anything after that. But we needed it. It got us into the championship. I think we're excited for it. I mean, I'm excited to go to Iowa and, fish that major numbers body of water. I think Nick is too.
I
Yeah,
think he is
hopefully.
too, no
Yeah.
matter how he shows it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No,
Yeah,
that was a
hopefully
big
it
time fish. Oh, sorry, Max. I
Oh,
was just
you're
saying that
good,
was a
Gus.
big time fish, we were all really pumped to get that text. Especially, I think we got that text when what, we were trolling at that point, Max? Wind drifting. Whatever the hell we were doing it wasn't it wasn't that, but that is all right. But yeah, Iowa, looking forward to that. That's in a week from now, a week and a day.
Yeah,
Few
championship
days.
on mega numbers body of water in the late fall. What could go wrong?
Yeah, you guys
I
are
hope
seeing
it's a
just setting it
shootout.
up.
I just hope everyone's crushing fish and it just turns into a major
Yeah.
shootout. That'd be sweet.
I was saying
It
the
would be
same thing
fun.
all year last year with the Eagle River chain as the championship in the last week of September.
And we got the worst
You
weather
know
of all
how that
time.
played out. Yeah. Knowing my luck, it's gonna be like, I don't even know. I'm not even gonna say it. I'm
No,
hoping that
don't
we
even
get some
say
more.
it. Don't
Don't
even
even
say it.
I'm
No.
hoping we get some good weather next week and
Don't
the
even
fish are
say it.
going.
Max, we got do we have a little Minnesota update to stay on a Minnesota talk for you and the Metro Fish, or are they still being dumb dumb, but also cool at the same time?
I only got it out once between last pod and
Oh, that's right, only once.
This week, and it was so hot last week. We yeah, the night we got out, it was just nothing much was going on. It was a pretty gnarly east wind, and those fish had kind of vacated from seemed like the shallow water a little bit. And yeah, just wasn't much going on, to be honest. I think this cold snap that's coming up here towards the end of this week with the new moon, I think on Sunday, Should be
Yeah.
really good around the metro, I would guess, if I'm going off of what was going on around that full moon a couple weeks ago. So yeah, hopefully I'll get out potentially even tomorrow night or Sunday. So maybe I'll have more to update after that. But yeah, it'd be nice to get my hands on a big metro bruiser before heading down to Iowa. That'd be awesome.
Hell yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to have like, well, all three of you. Brian would probably love it, but like Clayton and Gus come down and fish Tonka this time of year during a cold snap when they push up shallow. I'd be interested to see how you guys break it down and fish it because it is kind of it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, how like we don't have that type of shallow sand here in Vilas in Oneida County. Like there's a couple lakes that kind of got it, and I think you can kind of do it, but really it's just the shallow weed push, I guess, for us here. So it's probably just do the same thing, but for you, just find the shallow inside edges
It's
or
just gonna
whatever.
feel weird. It's
I
just
don't
gonna
know. It
feel like
would be
you're in the abyss.
in the moon abyss this time instead of like the aqua blue deep abyss.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
know. It's crazy to me to think that like real fall is like 2 weeks away. Like it's still, I mean, we got
Yeah, I
87
know.
degrees this week. It still feels like summer,
It
but
was
I mean,
90 in the cities today and yesterday. Like, it's not, I feel like we're so far away from like fall fishing
but it's,
still.
yeah, it's like 2 weeks is pretty much October 1st, and then it's, you know, we already have a little cold front coming. I'm sure by then it'll get even colder,
I mean,
and right this
dude, the
winter.
last couple of years though,
It's
September has just
been
been like an
mass.
extension of August. I mean,
Yeah, it
realistically, it's
has. I mean, we had a
just
cold
been.
September, cold end of August this year, but
Yeah, there was like a big old cool down the last few weeks, and the fish really snapped for that. But yeah, last year and like, I don't know, Max and Clayton and whatnot, looking back even a couple of years ago, we had like, God, I think it was even early October. There's multiple early Octobers we had up to 80-degree temps, and I think like within a week later it snowed. So that's just the type of things that we get to look forward to, and that makes the fishing really good and really bad at the same time. And it's just something that kind of keeps us on our toes out here. But I've been semi surprised about how well the fish have been eating during this heat up. Not seeing a whole lot up until literally today. The amount of follows were just like way down compared to prior weeks, but they're still chowing and still chowing blades. Do you get you got yours today in blades, Clayton? I think you
Yeah.
said that.
Yep,
Yeah.
we got well the last three good ones we've gotten have been on blades. Actually, the last two were on a bait that I made, some double tens, which was pretty cool. 'Cause
Hell
my
yeah.
buddy Luke like casted it off first thing in the morning. He like put I'm like, "Hey, want to use one of my rods or whatever?" He's out fishing with me last weekend and he's like, "No, like I'll use mine. Like, I like using my stuff." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And he, like, snaps on, like, five casts in. All of a sudden, I didn't even hear, like, a snap. Just the bait just takes off. He's like, "Oh, crap." And I'm like, "Dude, that you have to have a broken eyelet. Like, there's no way that would have broke so clean like that to just." Sure enough, his, like, end eyelet was shattered and broken and had a sharp edge. And I was like, "Yep."
Oh,
And
gosh.
that was the old Lucky Bucky from that body of water. I was kind of bummed about. The thing was super ratty, but obviously it still catch fish.
The
So
one,
we went
the
home that night. Like, I
copper
made
gold
it
one.
by that day without it. So somehow I put on a Hunzi tail and it worked. But
I
got home
guess they
that night
work.
and I'm like, I gotta tie up another one as soon as I can. And so we took it out the next morning and 30 minutes in, popped a good one and got a good one on today on it too. So sweet.
Nice. That's awesome. That same like gold to copper one
Yeah.
I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, that'll do. They've been going on double tens. That's for damn sure. The
Yeah.
old cowgirl mixture is getting it done. I don't know why, out of nowhere, they just want to go after giant blades, but they do.
Yeah, extremely squirrely on them too. Like, man, they're just like when you, I'd say, like, out of all the fish that we're like seeing on the electronics and having follows, like most of them are kind of lazy if they even make it to the boat. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like today's fish wasn't even on Moon. It was before it, the major. But all of a sudden, you get one that's just absolutely jacked up and just has no regard for anything. And I'm going to eat that bait no matter what it
It's like
takes.
that's what they're all like when I throw a glide bait. Same shit.
All of
Right? Yeah,
them? You've only put a glide bait over one fish in your lifetime.
and I made it just spaz on it. It was crazy.
Gus, you want to fire up and on the line before Brian starts yapping about glide baits?
God, dang it. Yeah, let's dial in this one right here.
Oh God, I got a feeling it might be a good segue.
This should be good. Hold on.
Give me a second.
Could you hear that or no?
What?
Oh, you could?
What?
I think I could hear it, yeah.
Sick tubie on Gus's page. That's awesome. Hey, question I always have is, should I run a blade on my tube or should I run it naked? What conditions or fish moods determines if you run a blade on your tube or run her naked? Also, shout out to Brian for catching on that Hank 10. I knew he could do it. Good
There we
job, bud.
go.
I'll hang up and
God
listen.
damn, man.
Let's go. Let's
Yeah, that's our boy Trey.
out Trey,
That's
man.
insane.
That's insane. All right, who wants to go first with the tubular talk?
I wish I could pay my boy Trey back and give him a pointer here, but I really am not the tube guru at all. So
You can
someone
pay him
else.
for the baby,
I got to send it back. That was the
don't
deal. Or actually, I think he said if I call one on, I could keep it.
You have to take
Hell
that
of a
up with
deal.
him, man.
Yeah.
Wait, and you want to answer? It sounds like you got to take a break. So you want to answer and then.
Yeah, sure. I can't get myself to throw one without a blade on the back anymore. Maybe even ever, really. I probably just don't even give it a chance. But I guess it really depends on what I'm trying to do with a tube. But there'll always be a blade of some sort in the back, and whether it's a willow, if I want the bait to continue hopping, keep it hoppy. I'll put a willow blade back there because it still moves pretty fast in the water. If I want to slow it down, then I start switching to like a little Colorado blade or whatever, and just upsize the blade as slow and as high as I want to keep that bait in the water. So the slower I want the bait to move, obviously the harder it's going to be to rip, but I'll go up as high as like a 7 blade, even an 8 sometimes.
Oh, damn.
Really get her thumping in super cloudy water over the top of weeds, a lot of vibration, and it'll stall out up there, and then just kind of downsize the blade as you want it to go faster and deeper.
Yeah. For me, I really like throwing, as Trey calls it, the naked tube, just when it's a little bit working a little bit deeper structure. And honestly, I'm a huge fan of how tubes work without the blade on the back. Like, if you're the one thing I really learned from Gus that he helped me out with when I started throwing tubes is just not allowing yourself to overwork the naked tube. I think that's the biggest thing that you can easily fuck up when you're working a tube without a blade. Those things are so erratic and squirrely that if you give it too big a rips, that thing can just start looking really dumb in the water. And so if you get a nice like little cadence down with it where you can actually get some good consistent,
What would
not
that
you know
be?
you don't want it to do the same thing, but like if you can kind of get it to, was that Grant?
I said, what would that cadence be?
I mean, it's dealer's choice really. You just want to make sure it's not going all over the map,
Right.
you know.
So less big
Whoosh,
pumps, more tiny
whoosh,
taps.
whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like little
Almost
slack line hops, just little.
like your vertical, like vertical ripping
Up.
a glide
I
bait
kind of like
almost.
go to the side, a couple up, couple to the side, couple up, but like just nothing big.
Couple side, couple up, couple
Couple
side. Okay.
side, couple up,
Got it. You
up,
taking
side,
notes
side,
there,
side, up.
Brian?
Yeah, up upside side, up there.
And then
Especially
yeah,
on the
the
two
blade
peak.
over the weeds is just straight up deadly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'll defer to Gus. He's the
I
tube
agree
king.
with everybody on all their answers because we've caught them in all kinds of ways with the tubes, and mainly we use the mid-depth rig from Red October. And I'd say one thing that I'd add for the naked tube, Max, that maybe I don't know if we've said at all, and something that I have noticed is that I've enjoyed using those on a rod with a little bit more flex, like a heavy almost.
Yeah,
Because if you do have an
100%.
extra heavy, you're gonna end up overworking the shit out of that thing, and it's just gonna like, but it's just gonna twirl. You know, that's the thing that everyone complains about. My tube's twirling, or it's only going to the one direction. You got to keep messing around with where you put the single hook through the top of the tube. And if that doesn't do it, literally just take the tube out of the rig and then put it back in at a slightly different angle. Try it with the weight pressed all the way to the front, and then try it with it like a quarter of an inch away from the front. And it's, you know, sounds like a pain in the ass, but once you get a good working tube, you could have that thing damn near hanging by a thread of just chowed up teeth marks everywhere, and it still works. Somehow, just like a good working tube stays a good working tube as long as like you keep bringing that single hook back through the same spot. And yeah, I like deeper water for that, and even colder water. You know, typically you'd think slowing it down, but getting that like quick hopping, I don't know what is up with that colder water and the naked tube, but I've been starting to dig that. But yeah, cloudy water or shallow water, it's a must for blade off the back. And I'm same with Clayton. Willows, Colorados, switch it up for how your hoppiness is going to be. Smaller
Have you
blade,
guys
more hop.
messed around
Messed
with the
around with
shallow
the
rig
shallow
without a
rig.
blade on the back and
Don't like it.
No, I'm not a fan. I watched a fish eat, you know, when our buddy Jack Big Beast was in the boat many years ago. He was throwing a 10-inch shallow rigged all white tube, and this is kind of a funny story. And I remember like looking it out there. I'm like, that looks like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Shout out.
You know, after also throwing like a ninja with a tube or a blade off the back, and it's like, oh, look, this thing looks tasty. And literally the cast were like, he's halfway back and he's like, dude, look at how I'm working this. And the tube just kind of like gliding up super slow and just fluttering there. And he just gets absolutely annihilated by like a low 40s. And we freak out, and then it got off. But that is the only fish I've ever seen eat a shallow rig tube, and as the last time I've used a shallow rig tube. So,
So it's one for one.
yeah, what the hell?
Sounds like
I
it's batting
mean,
100%.
so Brian, I think it's a perfect tube for you, bud. You
God
know.
damn. You're dishing them things out like candy. What's up, bud guy, pal?
It's kind of nuts.
I didn't even
Is
realize
big
he did
bro on
a.
us over here.
Yeah, that's the last couple of weeks. He's got this new thing now. All of a sudden, the ego check. He ain't checking it at the pod door.
Right. Wonder
Dog,
what's
you
gotten
know.
into him. What do you think, Brian?
I don't know. He's still thinking about that guided 50 out on St. Clair, something like that.
That was the biggest ego check.
All right, we got another one to rip. Otherwise, I thought of a question for you guys. I'm a little curious, see what
Oh,
you guys
God.
think.
Okay.
My own
Hit us up.
on the line here, calling in from Wisconsin. I'm curious if
Live.
y'all boys, and I gotta explain this to you because, you know, it's a, you gotta think pretty critically here. Would you rather never be allowed to buy another bait for the rest of your life, but all your baits that you currently have stay in usable condition forever? Or you can never buy a new boat, but your current boat stays in the current condition it's in. or you can never buy or upgrade your rod and reel ever for the rest of your life, but you know, they stay usable. Which one are you? I mean, it's easy for me, but I also don't have a boat. What are you willing to sacrifice?
I would never, I'd go with the first one, the bait.
You keep your baits forever? What if new cool shit comes out?
I don't care.
You gotta watch from the sidelines.
These catch muskies.
They catch enough and I got enough old baits. I just keep recycling them and they'll be good.
What about when like EBS version 2 comes out and you're gonna be sitting there just wishing you had
Nope.
it?
Oh man.
I don't like the condition my boat is in, and there's a few tweaks I'd like to do to my rod and reels.
All
So,
right, good answer.
yep.
I think, oh man, I love my tiller. I love the Alumacraft. That's probably option two. I think I'm just gonna go baits as well, because rod and
Jeez.
reels are all just hodgepodge, mix and match that I got with me right now. I got a lot of reels that still need to be on their way back. Actually, shout out Trey Tapples, Reel Repair. He's got some that are gonna get back
Trey Mason,
shortly. Yep,
shout
yep.
out.
Shout out. And then I'll feel a lot more complete with the rods and reels. But I still use like five different reel manufacturers. I feel like I'm still testing to find which one's my favorite. And
We'll get
I don't
that
know.
sponsorship.
I'm gonna go with baits for this one. Especially if you say like, I mean, we got so many random ones. I mean, cripes, haven't used a Booker 500 in a long time, and I mean, if that thing's gonna stay in working condition forever, I'll be tossing that out there eventually as well, and it'll be catching as it always
Will
did. And I'd be very happy with the amount that I have, especially because there's some that are right next to me at the office here and that haven't even seen water yet, and I know they're, you know,
Yeah, you
musky
probably get
proofed.
bored enough to throw some of my baits that have been sitting on the wall for a year and a half, 2 years, collecting dust, looking pretty though.
They don't collect dust. It's just all vibrant orange. I don't miss them every time I walk into that garage.
Yeah, you can see them. They're just a reminder what works.
Yeah. Max.
Need to upgrade my rod and reel combo, man. I'm off the 10-6 jumbo setup. It's just too damn heavy.
Max, we're in a tough spot
So
to answer
much.
this.
I mean, I got the 10-6 500 tranks, dude. It's got to go, man. I don't need two of them. One of them's just been chilling in the truck for the last
Two
4 months. I mean, I haven't even
of
used my PG in, since like June, I don't think. So if anyone's looking
Wow.
for a 10-6, holler at your boy or a Tranx 500 PG.
You gotta cut him a deal?
I will, no, market rate.
Those mock
It's pretty
guys are
much
real
right out of the
pieces of shit.
box.
True.
I mean, shoot, that PG's probably been used one day. I just don't need it.
And it's
Yeah.
got line on it, which is
It's
30
all
bucks.
it's
It's
ready to
half
go. If
metal.
you're looking for a 10-6 extra heavy Tranx 500 PG, I'm your guy.
I thought it was the
It's
10.6
yours.
heavy.
It might be the yeah, you're right. It's 10-6 heavy. Sorry.
The reel is more intriguing to me than the rod. That rod, there's no way I need anything longer than a 10 foot.
Yeah, it's wearing on my old bones, man. It's just
Yeah, I
heavy.
bet.
It's just heavy. It's really sick for figure eights, when I actually see fish. Rare times I do, but yeah, it's heavy. I don't need it anymore. I need something a little lighter. So I think I'm gonna keep the 10-6 high gear setup and then try to get something a little bit more user friendly.
We'll see
All right.
how the future goes with the rods that I got, Max. I'll probably hook you up with that 10 foot extra heavy,
Okay.
because I've really liked it, but I'm still a big fan of my 9 and 9.6s, and then that one OG Blademaster 10-footer, 10-foot heavy. I love that one too.
Yeah, 10 foots is like we've speculated here, like where rod's going, like, oh, there's a 10 footer now, there'll be a 10. You don't, it's too much, man. It's too much. You don't need it.
We've hit it. Yeah,
It's the
especially
limit.
running out of the boat that sits lower to the water. I mean, even out of like a high up, I don't know.
You just don't need it.
No. What were you gonna say, Brian?
Nothing. I was just gonna thank Max for the rod update, but he totally didn't answer the question.
Oh, I think it was a segue of that I would want to keep the ability to upgrade my rods, and I'd keep the baits. I'd keep my baits.
So
I
you
want to
never
upgrade my
so
rods. I don't have a
I don't
boat
know.
yet, but boat is loading. Boat's
That's what I'm
loading.
saying. It's hard
Love
for us to
that.
answer because if we say we'll never get another boat, we're just
Well,
never going to get a
it's,
boat. So you can't pick that.
I mean, that's not really, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, baits.
So you'll keep your,
It's
what,
really not
10
hard when you
baits?
don't, it's actually way
You
easier when you
can't
don't
claim
have a
Gus's
boat.
baits. You got to claim your current bait box, which isn't that big.
Half the baits that Gus has, I bought.
Well, now they're under his possession. That's your fault for gifting
That's not how that works.
them. Look, that's the take up of Gus, not me.
This isn't
Our
some fucking
baits.
squatter's rights on baits.
Sounds like it is.
Adverse
Yeah.
property law. Getting out ahead. All right. Gus, fire up another on the line, please.
I'll say we got words coming out of your mouth a little over my pay grade. All right.
Hey boys, this is Top Line Adam calling from Canada. And since this is a sports podcast with a bit of musky fishing, and you boys all played hockey, I was curious, who is the dangler, who is the fighter, and who is the grocery stick? Your turn.
Grocery stick.
Grocery stick.
Brian.
What does that mean? Brian's a
Grocery
grocery
stick,
stick.
Brian.
I did. I didn't play hockey.
Means you're useless out there.
What's a dangler?
The angler is kind of more like what I am.
I don't think so. Also, shout out Adam, top line.
Well, who is better skater between you two? Better sniper, better facilitator?
Pretty much max for all that, except for maybe speed.
I mean, you go back to the old high school rink, the jersey's still in the rafters. I mean, you check the history
Jeez.
books. Has this
Yo,
my name in there a
if
couple
we're talking
times.
about an ego check,
Yeah, you've been waiting for this
here.
question.
So
Probably paid him to ask this.
glad you asked us, Adam. Yeah.
Oh,
Clayton,
man.
can you skate?
Nah.
All right. Same here, brother.
I'm good with a stick as long as I'm on my feet. You put me on
Whoa, clip
skates and it's
that,
game
somebody.
over. Jeez.
Pause.
Rollerblades?
Nope.
No.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Rollerblading's harder than ice skating is. That's how
Really?
you get
Yeah, I
clapped,
guess
dude.
so.
Yeah, rollerblading's tough. It's tough out there.
Damn.
All right, what about an
But
unknown sender?
unknown sender.
Whoa.
We can
Here we go.
end on that one.
Hey guys, love the show. Want to get your thoughts on the new Muskie live release record that was caught recently.
Appreciate you, unknown.
Was that
Dang.
con in?
Someone want to recap this world record live release? I'm pretty sure I know who it is, but
JVRs? Is it a
that's
world live release or is it a
eight.
state, right?
State.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Eight.
state.
Yeah.
Olympic record.
State live release.
Gus,
I
can
mean,
you? I
it's a
mean, it
giant,
has a
giant
freaking
fish.
insane fish. I didn't even know that that was a thing.
I didn't either. I mean, there's like, I guess there is one for every single fish. I heard that apparently, like, the tiger muskie is not even that big, or there's not even a live release submitted on a tiger muskie.
What is the I mean, it was a hell of a fish. I think when it I think when it got posted, I was like, oh shit, this is like a, I didn't know it was even a thing.
Yeah, it's that's interesting because there's that was a beautiful fish. That's a huge fish.
Gorgeous.
There's a lot bigger fish that have been caught out there than that one. But
Right.
it's not
And I
really a,
think junior.
it wasn't really or isn't really a popular like whatever you want to call it, like award or whatever thing record.
Yeah. Yeah, I think JVR, because Brian Scaife had it prior to JVR, right? And I think they were like both talking about that in one of the comment sections. I saw that they were both like, we know there's been bigger fish caught. We were just it's like to make bring some attention to this. Cause I do think it would be cool to have more people register their fish, but I don't know how do you even register them. So like to actually have state
Yeah, what's
records
that
that people
process?
know would be kind of cool. If you're saying that like because clearly if Brian's was, I don't even know what how big his fish was, 55, 53, I'm not even sure.
Well, yeah, I think it was around there.
So yeah, like obviously Green Bay, kicks out, on the year much bigger fish, but like obviously people just aren't registering it. So it would be kind of interesting if people if you could go out to Green Bay and catch like a state record
If
muskie and it actually feel like it means something, it would be kind of cool.
kind of like a benchmark, and if it keeps, well, not if, when
I think
it'll keep going up if the whole year.
JVR's fish at least starts brings some validity to it just because it gives a little bit more higher of a benchmark, even though there has been bigger fish caught. Like I think it's an achievable fish to beat for those guys down in Green Bay.
Yeah. It definitely, he definitely brought attention to it. I mean, there's a lot of people talking about it now, which is cool. I think there will be people. There's a bunch of people I know that will register one if they catch one now that maybe wouldn't have before, never really thought about it. But I think
They
a lot
should
of
do
people are looking into it now.
an inland one and a Green Bay one.
Yeah.
Because it seems a little, because it would be cool to hold like the state record for the inland muskie, and then just like you're not, if you're fishing in Vilas County, you're never going to beat some of those fish that come out of Green Bay, obviously.
But
So
even
even
if
inland,
someone
just go to
plants a
Madison.
someone plants it like 53, 54 inland, and you're never gonna beat that.
So
You got to go to like Madison or Wisconsin River.
I'm kind of curious, if does it have to be a combination of length and girth? Because he was very
No
specific
idea.
about the girth on it, or if that was just the girth is the girth. But like can you beat him in length, but it's not as girthy? Does it still take
Yeah.
the state record? I haven't looked into it because I'm
I
not gonna catch
was.
one that big, but.
Hold up, hold up. Okay, so it says the fish must be caught and released back in Wisconsin waters, must submit an application for the live release record fish category to the DNR. The fish's total length must be measured to the nearest quarter inch. Girth measurement and measurement of the fish's girth around the widest part must be included in your application. To exceed the record, the new catch must be at least a quarter inch longer than the current record to be certified. The way that reads, it would just mean the girth is going to be included in the overall statement, but I would assume that the only thing
But it's
that
length. So
length
it's a
would be the
length
record,
record.
the
Yep.
length record, yeah.
That makes sense.
So if you caught
Okay.
one, I'm assuming you have 56 and I don't know, what was Jess, 56 and a quarter, half? Yeah,
55.
56 something.
I think it's 56 something by 26 or something.
What do you think that weighed?
Yes. 50,
50,
40,
mid
8
40s.
pounds, mid
Yeah, mid
40s.
upper 40s.
Yeah, I was gonna, I'm reading that, God, what, the Larry Ramsell. I'm still kind of combing through the Larry Ramsell books about all the historian, like the history of the muskie records. And
Yeah.
I was gonna read a page from one of the books. It's just so funny. I almost want to go back and find it, but we don't have enough time. Maybe one of the pods in the future, I'll read a page out of it. I was cracking up laughing. There's a guy who, God, now I'm having bad reading recollection, but the guy that was catching all the big muskies out of St. Clair, apparently people were like sending in anonymous letters to Muskie Hunter magazine to try to discredit him, pretty much saying that like he can't catch fish, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing out there, and that he's buying fish from like the commercial netters. And it just cracked me up because I'm like, you see all these people these days, like when somebody posts a big fish on social media, you get all this hate and they're like, oh, this is just the new day and age of social media. And then you realize like back in the day, people were just shit talking other people, but they were doing it with like pen and paper and just getting down on some pen and paper, just getting their takes off and send it into Muskie Hunter. Like, this fucking guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He didn't catch that 60-pound muskie out of Lake St. Clair and whatever. And the way they like wrote was just like the most hater shit ever. Just like talking about how the guy's net's never been wet in his entire life. And like just,
Guy's
just
never
going
seen
in.
wet nets.
And then it was like all anonymous shit. So it was just, I'm like, it hasn't changed. It hasn't
Hasn't
changed.
changed at
Nope.
all.
Nope. That's
Just
hilarious.
yeah,
that's
it's good.
awesome.
So
It's just
funny. So
faster now.
yeah, it's just more in your face, but
Facebook via typewriter.
the one other question, the guy he DM'd us and said to add on to his question, he'd be curious to know our thoughts. And Brian, you've asked this before, but would you be more nervous to be the person that has a state record muskie on, or the person that has to net it?
Oh.
Net it.
Yeah, net it, I
It's a lot of
think.
fish to fit in the bag.
Net it. 'Cause like
Net
I mean, you gotta
it for
like
sure.
to have the fish come off like while fighting it, it could just happen at any moment, no matter how
Yeah,
well
you
you
can get
fight
over
it.
that. Tell
And
yourself
you
you
could
weren't
just
at
be
fault.
like, well shit, that fish at a barrel roll, this, that, but like it's about, I mean, it's going in the net or not going in the net or gets hung on the side or in the out, who knows? If you do that, yeah, I'd hate to be the netter.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely.
nervous. I would just jam it in the water and be like, swim in it. God damn it, swim in it.
So let me ask you guys this to maybe cap off the question. Do you think there will be a new state record in 2026 or even to the end this year?
I think in a year, yeah.
In a year.
By the end of next year, there for sure will be.
Yeah.
Really? I know
I
two
think.
that got caught already. They just didn't register him.
I wonder if we're going to start getting some Louis Spray shit going on where one
Yeah.
person registers one week and then the next. Because I'd be curious to know exactly how you certify everything, I guess. Not to be like a.
Where's the boundary in Bay Green
Pictures
Bay to
or.
be considered Wisconsin? Like how
Like,
far
I'm just
north?
talking like if some
South
dude,
of
say some dude shore fishing
Marinette?
and he's
There,
got,
well, there is a distinct like border that you have to like stay on Wisconsin side. Yeah, there is like that river. Is it the Marinette or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's someone's gonna catch one north of that and be like, no, I caught it down by Green Bay, and everybody's gonna be like, no, that's gonna be the Louis Spray
Yeah,
shit.
right. Or
Yeah.
just like, some random person all of a sudden just comes out of the clouds and like says they
Yeah.
caught a 58-inch muskie and they got, I mean, in this day and age, man, you could fucking, who knows, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little weird with the release. I'm contradicting myself because I'm for the release records, but like,
How do you stop a person from faking it? Like,
essentially, yeah, like
yeah.
photoshopping a bump board or something that just like, I don't freaking, I'm not saying that like people we know like what I, but like some random person that's like, I want to have the state record for muskie or, yeah, I don't know, some like young kid. Gus trying to get it, ahead in the world in this guide
Dog.
service. Next thing you know, he's got the
Dog,
58
yo.
inch state record muskie.
What's going on here?
I'd call him out
Just
right away.
kidding.
Yeah, especially a
We'll keep
guy
him
that goes
honest.
from catching 36 inches in the weeds up north to all of a sudden hoisting a 59.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have some questions too.
Unguided. It's like, yeah, right.
I don't know. I'm not trying to be an idiot. I'm just saying, like, the whole live release thing definitely. I'm just speculating what other people will probably get have a
Yeah.
conniption over once Jeff's record is broken. If it gets broken, I bet you people start talking.
Yep.
Unless maybe, maybe not. Maybe it'll be all buttoned up and fine, but I don't know. I mean, if they
Kind
were
of
kind of
see.
basing it off the honor
Yeah.
system a little bit. I mean, where's the proof?
We they should slap a little money reward to it and watch it get
No.
real
Oh,
quick.
yeah,
Watch the
dude.
world burn.
That's what they
Come
used to do
on.
back in the day.
No
That's why
way.
those guys
Nah.
used to go crazy over that. Just like they would get paid for catching, like that year's biggest muskie and stuff. Like actually a pretty healthy amount of money for back in the day.
That's insane.
And like if you think of all the oh shit. If
What are
you
you
think of
doing?
all the how much controversy there was around the old muskie records when they actually had to bring them in and weigh them and see them in person to think like how much controversy was around them then, but probably just because of lack of documentation and cameras and stuff, but I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
don't know. It's the muskie fishing community. I'm sure everything is going to be very sane and normal, and everything is going to be
Yes.
not
Okay.
an absolute dumpster
For sure.
fire of
People losing their minds for no reason.
for no reason, as they all do about everything all the time, everywhere.
I
So.
feel like I just got off on a tangent that I don't even like care about at all. So I don't even know why I was like saying all that stuff. I'm just like
Yeah, you
I didn't
got
really
real
give a shit.
passionate there, bud.
Yeah.
No, I really could care less. I'm just like it's just my mind just started going there and I'm like, oh man, they're starting realizing there's some like kind of opening up a can of worms with this,
Right. Right. Well, boys, I
Whatever.
think that puts a bow on this podcast here. I know we all got to get up early for work and whatnot. The only exciting thing in the docket for me until the next pod is your boys going lithium, making the
Wow.
change tomorrow. So
Groundbreaking. I can't believe your batteries went bad already. That is unreal.
I don't understand it either, to be
You've had a
honest.
lot of battery problems the last few years.
I know. It's not ideal. I mean, shit, we had it over opener. We were running a black screen by like 7 p.m.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Was good. Yeah, that happened while I was guiding the other day. We went to all black, and we ended up getting one while everything was black.
Are these lithiums supposed to be like bulletproof?
It's supposed to last like forever. They all
Yeah.
got like 10, 12 plus year warranties on
Nice.
them, so you can just carry them from boat to boat or keep it in your same boat depending on however long I got it. I don't know. And hold a charge longer and hold the highest voltage possible until they're dead, right? Isn't that kind of how it goes?
Yep.
So I think it's all worth it. I mean, Max and I's our trolling motor died in Cass with hour maybe 2 hours ago on day two, which is the short day. So
Not good. Yeah,
not
that's
good.
bad.
No, it's not good at
Did
all.
you check on the warranty yet for those? They got to be under warranty yet.
They definitely got I have not yet. I'm gonna talk to Jason tomorrow, Northland, to
Nice.
make sure that I can get some new ones to have as backups, 'cause that'll be nice, or just to have in general. It's not a bad thing to have. Before we sign off here, Clayton, do you want to drop some info in your YouTube? He just dropped a new YouTube video.
Oh,
Fresh off the
great.
press.
Yeah, well, don't expect more anytime soon. That one took me like
Oh.
3 weeks to get through, or maybe even longer, but
Dang it.
I did, yeah, I have my YouTube channel, This'll Do Outdoor Adventures. I just put the first video in the Lake of the Woods series up tonight. And oh, what do you got going on there? No distractions.
Sorry, I'm holding
That's
up baits.
dumb. It's a stupid bait. But anyways, yeah, so got some content going on there. A lot more to come, a lot of good stuff yet. And I am still running guide trips. I've got a little bit of baits. No. I've got some
Good.
openings coming up. If you want to get out this fall, do some casting or trolling, a little live bait, whatever you want to do, give me a shout. Should be all working into the schedule. But yeah, my number is 715-891-1046. And if you want to just reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you can do that too. Clayton Spies or Thistle Dew Outdoor Adventures.
Hell yeah, if you want to get out in the fall, hit him up. And if for some reason you don't want to hit up Clayton, hit me up. And if for some reason you don't want to hit me up, then you can go
Hit
beep.
me up.
Yeah.
Then you can hit Brian up, I guess. You heard it here first. All right, Brian, take us away.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Clayton for coming on once again. 20th time, new member club, champion club, John Cena club.
Burr, burner,
Big
burner.
weekend coming up. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. We got the Ryder Cup, USA versus Europe. We're back in golf season just like that. What else is on the docket here coming up? We got a massive college football slate. Season just keeps getting better and better. Tennessee should have beat Georgia. That was an all-time classic down there in Neyland. Arch Manning sucks, and Vikings are terrible. JJ McCarthy's horrible. He just proved my point again this past week. Absolute dumpster fire there in Minneapolis, guys. We will catch you next
Packers,
week.
Browns.
Cue the John Cena.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Go Pack, go.